Mandatory minicamp is over for the Jets. Today we're going to talk about some of the standouts from the offseason program on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Friday, June 17th, 2022, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanking you for making this show your first listen or your first watch. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you like what you see or hear, hit that subscribe button, and you'll never miss an episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, please give the episode a big thumbs up. Helps the channel out, and it helps other Jets fans find the podcast. This is normally a daily podcast covering the New York Jets through most of the year. We have new episodes Monday through Friday each day. We're in off-season mode right now, so less frequent episodes. Another reason to hit the subscribe button so you'll get notifications as new episodes are posted. But once we get back into training camp, we'll return to our normal Monday through Friday schedule. The Jets did, however, conduct their mandatory minicamp this week, and the reason I use the word mandatory is this is the only part of the offseason program players are required to attend. If you're a player, you do not have to attend any of the other offseason practices except for this week's minicamp. And if you don't attend this week's minicamp, you could get fined. Jets, it seems like, had pretty good attendance at this one, so no real controversy on this end. And now we're going to start to turn our attention from the offseason program to training camp. And if you've followed my writings through the years, if you've listened to my podcasts, you know I'm a big skeptic on drawing any sweeping conclusions from the offseason program, because these are just a handful of practices. They're happening during the offseason. I say it frequently when people try to make a big deal out of something that's happening. If a player had three really good practices in a row in October, you would not care. You would not even know about it because nobody's even covering. The media doesn't cover practices except for like the beginning of those. So why would you care in the offseason when we're not even close to playing games? But I think the reason people care about it is there's really no other news about the Jets. So you always have to find something to kind of focus on, and it leads to too much attention being paid to the results of these practices. And by the time training camp begins, I bet you anything you will not remember who the standouts were during the offseason program. But I do think there are limited situations where what happens can matter. And the way I view it is almost like it's kind of the first chapter of a long story. So if somebody is really, really looking good and they're drawing the attention of coaches and the coaches are going out of their way to praise them, then I say, you know, then you begin training camp. You maybe keep an extra eye on those players. And these are some of the players I'm going to talk about today. Players who, for one reason or another, drew some attention during the offseason program and, you know, could be players to watch as we focus on the upcoming season. Now, the first player I'm going to mention is a player I think everybody's focused on, and he really was not a part of the offseason program. He showed up at minicamp, had some family commitments during the rest of the offseason program. He's still recovering from an injury, and that's Mekhi Becton. And Mekhi Becton generated headlines the other day because he spoke with the press and he was wearing a shirt that the shirt had some of the criticisms Becton has received from fans of the media were written on the shirt. So he was trying to make a statement. He was talking about his motivation. And Becton's a key player. And I go back to something I always say, whether or not you show up in the offseason program, it's all about getting ready for the season. I've seen players who don't show up for off-season practices and they're ready to go day one in training camp. I've seen players who show up to every off-season practice and they look terrible once the real games begin. I care about what happens when the games begin. And we all know what happened last year with Becton, and we all know the question marks around him. And there are legitimate questions about Becton. Can he stay healthy? You know, his rookie season, I think in context, was pretty good. But there were some injuries he dealt with. And then last year, he suffered that injury week one. He can't blame a guy for getting his knee hurt on the offensive line. I mean, that happens all the time, but he did miss pretty much the full season. He played, you know, he played into the third quarter of the first game before he suffered an injury that turned into a season-ending injury. And by all accounts, it sounds like the Jets were, and part of this probably part of the reason Becton's getting such criticism, the Jets in their public assessments were probably overly optimistic about Becton's time frame to return. And people, you know, we originally heard about half the season, and then he did not come back. And people are like, well, what's going on here? Well, you know, everything I've seen, and though this is just public information, there's nothing like insider about this, but like everything I've seen suggests the Jets were just too optimistic in their recovery time frame for Becton. And we do know, though, that the Jets really liked what they got out of George Fant last year at the left tackle position, and they've opened up the left tackle spot. They call it an open competition. Robert Saleh this week talked about how they have a plan. And, you know, I have many different views on this. I mean, on the one hand, I said this the day the Jets announced it. I like the idea that Becton's not going to just be handed the left tackle job because he was a high draft pick. I think that that's a good thing. I think it's always good when you have competition, when you're not just giving out positions based on draft pedigree. I do have some questions about this, though. I think, first of all, Fant was decent. Fant was good last year. If you look at the totality of his career, he's been kind of up and down. Was Fant good enough last year that you really want to drastically change your plan? I think that's a question. Another question I have is how this exactly is going to work, because Saleh said they have a plan. We don't know exactly what that plan is, though. And I do question a little bit, you know, is this going to be a wide open competition at left tackle, or are you going to be flipping Becton and Fant back and forth from left tackle to right tackle? And on some level, maybe that's good, because Fant last year had to prepare to play right tackle through, I mean, he was pretty much playing right tackle the full time heading into the season, and then week one he had to move over to left tackle without any preparation. So whoever starts at right tackle is probably going to be the backup at left tackle. If, you know, if there's an injury to the left tackle, you're probably going to slide that guy from the right side to the left side. So I guess on some level that makes sense, but on the other hand, don't you want the guy, each guy preparing for the position he's going to play when the real game starts? I think that's a question. I think the big question I have with this, though, is are the Jets prepared to commit to George Fant long-term? Because he's entering the final year of his contract. And he sent out a tweet the other day. I don't know if you caught that. He sent out a tweet the other day that was kind of suggesting that he wants a long-term contract. And with him entering this final year of his contract, you know, if he's your left tackle this year, that means, you know, you're not sure who the left tackle is going to be next year. If you're going to make this change, if you're going to take Mekhi Becton off left tackle, where the long-term plan has always been that's where he would be, you know, and George Fant leaves this offseason, then I think you have a question. Is then you essentially have maybe the second most important piece of your offense is up in the air next year. Are you going to move Fant back to left tackle? So now we're just going to keep moving Fant from left to right every year? I mean, is that the best move? So, you know, I think that there are lots of different angles to this decision. I think, you know, the number one angle is whether Fant's going to be, you know, I'm sorry, whether Becton's going to stay healthy. And, you know, for all the talk that this gets, you know, and everybody's got an opinion on Mekhi Becton. My opinion is probably more positive than a lot of people's, because I think he did well in 2020, if all in context. And I think you always want to put things in context. I think in context, Mekhi Becton held his own. It was not perfect, but I was not expecting perfect. I was expecting things to be a little bit shakier than they were in 2020 when he was healthy. But, you know, we could talk all off. We could talk about whether, you know, how he's recovering. We could talk about, you know, what he said the other day. We'll talk about what happens in training camp. You know, last year in training camp, it felt like things started to go downhill initially. Every day there were reports that Becton was struggling against Carl Lawson. And, you know, this generated a lot of negative buzz for Becton in the fan base. And, you know, at the end of the day, none of this matters. We don't remember how you perform in the off-season program. We don't remember even how you perform in training camp. What will matter, and this is when Becton will start to prove everything, is week one. But he's clearly a player to watch. He's one of the most important players on this team this year. And part of that's because there's a lot of potential there. I mean, he's a guy who can move people on the offensive line. And a guy his size, with his movement skills, you know, those guys don't come around all that frequently. But another reason Becton's really important, I know it's possible. I know, like, the Jets signed Morgan Moses last year, but they don't have Morgan Moses this year, and they're probably not going to have a Morgan Moses-type player. Last year, the Jets were kind of fortunate, and they were able to sign Morgan Moses late in the offseason, who essentially gave them an insurance policy at the tackle position. The Jets essentially entered last year with three starting tackles, which I think should be the goal. They don't have that this year. I don't think they're going to have that this year. I don't think they're going to run into another Morgan Moses situation. And that means Becton's going to have to stay healthy for this team. And, you know, when you're talking offensive line, injuries happen. That's just how it goes. But so on some level, they're just going to have to get a little bit lucky. But, you know, part of it's Becton is going to have to stay healthy. He's going to have to show he can stay healthy for a full 17. And, you know, if he can, this line could be very good. And if he can't, then you've opened up a real weak link at a spot where the Jets really can't afford to have it. So, you know, Becton's a key player. His throughout the offseason program. You know, again, he had a kind of had a family commitment, so he wasn't there. This week he spoke to the media, and you know, he talked about his motivation levels. At the end of the day, we'll find out more in the weeks ahead. Now, ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, I'll talk about another player to watch, a player who kind of drew my attention because of reports that he could be taking on a different role at a position of great need on defense. I'll tell you who that player is ahead here on this Friday episode of Locked On Jets. We're just a few weeks away from the start of training camp, and the start of the NFL season in 2022 won't be far behind that. And if you want to bet on NFL futures, if you're a big fan of what Joe Douglas did this offseason, you should know betonline.net is your number one spot for all your betting stats and sports info. You can find all of the latest sports developments, news and odds, including the Stanley Cup Finals, Major League Baseball, and the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC, all the way to boxing. And again, you can bet on NFL futures. Jets have very good odds. You know, there's not a lot of belief in the Jets right now, so if you think that the Jets are going to have a big year, you can make some good money. At BetOnline, you have your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. Just head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Of course, we're in June and it's very hot outside, but you may think back to last winter. It was one of the highest-priced winters of the last decade. No business owner wants to deal with the hassle of energy decisions. You just want your business to run smoothly, and you want to pay a fair rate for power. But if your business was on a purely variable or market rate last winter, you paid out the nose. Many New York business owners switched suppliers out of frustration, but unless they chose alternative pricing options, they're still at risk for a January repeat. That's where Catalyst Power comes in. They partner with you or your trusted energy consultant to produce a power supply plan that fits your business or your market risk tolerance. They have a suite of options customizable for your business's needs, including options that bundle with or focus on renewable energy. And right now in New York, they're offering an on-site solar solution for your business that requires zero installation, maintenance, or material purchase costs. That's right, there's no CapEx costs for you. And to sweeten the deal, qualified businesses could be eligible for up to 6 months of at-cost energy supply from Catalyst Power. Go to catalystpower.com/lockedonjets to learn more. Thank you for making Locked On Jets your first listen or your first watch. We are free and available on all platforms. Today we're talking about players who drew some attention during the offseason program. Now, in the first segment, I talked about Mekhi Becton, a key player for the Jets this coming season, who's still not on the field yet. He's still recovering from a knee injury. Jets indicated he should be ready for the start of training camp. Very important year for Becton, a very important player for this team. There's a spot where, on defense, where things aren't really clear right now. And it's in a different way than you talk about the tackle position. Where Mekhi Becton plays a tackle, we know he's going to be a starter. We just don't know where he's going to be starting. At the safety position on defense, we don't know who the starter is going to be. But there's a guy who's kind of generated some attention this offseason and throughout OTAs and then in minicamp, and that's Jason Pinnock, who was a late-round pick last year. And you may remember Pinnock actually got some safety action late in the season in 2021 and played reasonably well, and especially the free safety spot. You know, at strong safety, you're going to have Jordan Whitehead, who's going to play close to the line of scrimmage a lot. You'll have him play the run. You know, he'll probably, if the Jets play man coverage, he'll probably get a tight end or a running back. But that deep middle spot, that's a question mark for the Jets, because last year the guy who saw a lot of time there was Ashton Davis. And Ashton Davis, a second-year player, a third-round pick in 2020, did not look promising at all. It was ugly. I mean, if you look at the numbers, the passer rating against him in coverage was, you know, in the 115 range. I did an article where, I mean, I found that, like, Ashton Davis was if Ashton Davis makes tackles he's supposed to make, the Jets' run defense average is maybe like a full half a yard better. Bad angles. I mean, Ashton Davis, it's a cliche, but he's an athlete playing football. There's a difference between a football player and a guy who's an athlete who happens to be playing football. And Ashton Davis just really hasn't shown much of a feel for the game. And yet, could he get better? Listen, any young player could get better, but I would never want to bank on a guy who has looked like Ashton Davis the last 2 years developing into a player. I mean, you're going to need a big leap out of him. It's an important spot. You know, the free safety spot's one of those positions, and we appreciated this with Marcus May. You don't notice him until you're lacking quality players there, because when the free safety, the guy who's responsible for the deep middle, is doing his job, you don't really notice him, because he's just doing a steady job back there. He's preventing big plays from happening. You know, Marcus May, except for, like, 2020, that was Marcus May. You never noticed him as much as you noticed Jamal Adams, who was near the line of scrimmage, who was putting up big sack totals, who was making plays, you know, a destructive run defender. Marcus May was more the steady, quiet partner in the back of the defense, preventing things from falling apart. And if you're a longtime Jets fan, maybe you did appreciate that, because we watched, you know, guys like Calvin Pryor back there. We watched guys who have no idea what they're doing. I mean, I've been watching the Jets for about 3 decades now. The years where, like, you could trust the guy at the back of the defense, they're very few. And that's one of the reasons I appreciated Marcus May so much. And Ashton Davis was kind of a throwback to those guys you can't trust in the back of the defense. So this position was not really addressed this offseason. The Jets did bring back LaMarcus Joyner, but LaMarcus Joyner's got a lot of question marks. First of all, he's in his 30s. Second of all, he played like 13 snaps last year. But even if we're going to just presume that this guy who was injured the entire year last year and is in his 30s, you know, probably more prone to getting injured than a lot of other guys would be, even if we're going to say he's going to stay healthy, there's still some question marks about him, because while he was a good safety earlier in his career, the Jets were moving him. He played safety early in his career, and then he switched to slot corner, where by most accounts he was not as effective. He was a better safety than he was a slot corner. So you could say, okay, well, you're playing him at the position where he's better. Okay, that's one theory. It's entirely possible, but you have to acknowledge there's some risk there, because really, when you include last year where he was injured the whole year, suffered a season-ending injury week one, he hasn't really played the safety position full-time in like 4 years. So what are you getting out of the safety position? And perhaps that's where Jason Pinnock comes in. And, you know, you need guys. You just, as a team, you're in a league with a salary cap. You can't afford to spend big at every position. I mean, we know how many holes the Jets went into this offseason with. And we knew that even though they had a lot of resources, even though, you know, they had those 4 early draft picks, even though they had a decent amount of cap space, they weren't going to be able to fill everything. And as a team, you got to hit occasionally. Listen, I think sometimes people overstate it. Like, every year I get some email about how, you know, the Jets need 75% of their rookie class to be contributing. No, they don't. There's no team. And I always respond to this, no matter who sends it to me. Name me the team that consistently gets 75% of its draft picks to produce for you. We overestimate the number of draft picks you need to hit on. But you do need to find guys in the late rounds of the draft. You need to find guys off the waiver wire who can contribute. You need to find undrafted free agents. You need to develop practice squad level players. Because there's only so many resources to go around. So you have to hit on some of these guys you're not really using big resources on. And I think the question is, can Jason Pinnock be one of those guys? And it's an important spot, because we've seen the Jets. I mean, we saw it last year, how much it hurt the Jets, how bad Ashton Davis was. And yeah, I guess you could argue Ashton Davis could get better. Any player could get better, but he's got a long way to go. And I mean, I think he's a guy who the Jets drafted Ashton Davis based on potential, because, you know, he was an athlete, he was a track guy, you know, he was a hurdler. And I think they banked on the idea that he could learn how to play football. It doesn't always work that way. You know, sometimes you overestimate your ability to teach somebody. But maybe Jason Pinnock's the guy who can provide stability at the safety position. And by all accounts, the Jets are really excited about him. It's always a question when you're, first of all, dealing with a late-round pick. It's also a question when you're dealing with a guy who's transitioning to a new position. But I will say this. Safety is one of those positions you can graduate to. You know, like on the offensive line, a guy who can't really cut, a guy who's not athletic enough to handle the edge in pass protection, sometimes they graduate to guard, and they're a better guard. And sometimes, you know, if you're not great at snapping the ball, or maybe you're not, you can't really handle the complexities of getting the line set, reading the defensive front, sometimes you move from center to guard. Guard's the position you graduate to. Similarly, on the defensive side of the ball, sometimes what happens is a guy is, you know, not really good enough cover guy at corner, but he tackles well, and he reads the plays well. And maybe he's not good enough in coverage to be able to handle receivers one-on-one, but he is good enough to handle running backs and tight ends one-on-one, guys who are not as quick, not as athletic, not as challenging in coverage. And occasionally what you see is a guy who plays corner can transition to the safety position. Now, to be honest with you, I think it's just a theory. I don't know whether Jason Pinnock can handle that role. I liked what I saw late season last year out of him, but I've seen plenty of guys, you know, look decent with low expectations late season and then come in and not play well. But this is a spot where the Jets could really use a surprise contributor. And he might be the best hope the Jets have at the position. You know, LaMarcus Joyner, maybe he's like the insurance policy there. But if Jason Pinnock can step in and really handle this role in some capacity, because again, I mean, even if Joyner's your week one starter, I don't know you're going to have him for a full 17. You're going to need someone to step in and play effectively. And maybe it can be the late round prospect last year from Penn. It's a guy, as I said at the beginning, I'm not going to guarantee you this guy's going to play. It's the first, what we've been hearing is kind of like the first chapter. So this is now a guy I'm going to keep my eye on in training camp. Let's see how he does in training camp. Let's see how he does in preseason. But sometimes you get like the first indication of a guy who can contribute. And sometimes it means nothing. Sometimes you get by the time you get to the regular season, it's an afterthought. But sometimes it's kind of a clue as to what's happening. Now, ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, I'll give you one more player I have my eye on. I'm not sure how much this guy's going to contribute this year. This is another guy who's changing positions, but a guy who, by most accounts, is turning heads. I'll tell you who that is ahead here on this Friday episode. We are all hoping for a better Jets season this year. We're hoping Joe Douglas put together a better team. And if you're looking to put together a better car, go to Rock Auto. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto, and with the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. You have to endure pointless or intimidating questioning, and you're waiting while the person behind the counter orders the only part on their computer that their warehouse happens to carry. Well, you have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rock Auto will save you time and money. It's a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every customer. So go to rockauto.com right now. You can see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on this Friday, talking about players who generated attention during the offseason program for one reason or another. We've talked about Mekhi Becton on the offensive line. We talked about Jason Pinnock, who may be changing positions. There's another player who may be changing positions. This player's on the offensive side of the ball. And it's a player who may have a difficult time because the Jets have kind of a deep depth chart at the position suddenly. It's the tight end position, but that's Lawrence Cager. And you may not recognize the name Lawrence Cager. He's been with the Jets a couple of years. He was an undrafted free agent signing in 2020. He was kind of pressed into action early in his career, and it went about as well as you'd expect for an undrafted free agent. He's a guy I could tell you. I mean, the Jets liked what he did in training camp in both 2020 and 2021. I remember when I was at training camp last year for a couple of days. He was a guy who kind of impressed me. He's a bigger guy. But at the same time, he really wasn't that fast. And I kind of wondered where the fit would be for him in the NFL. But maybe he's a better tight end. You know, maybe he's not going to be the type of tight end who's going to play in line and move people around because, you know, he's a big receiver, but a big receiver is still small for a tight end. Maybe he's a guy if you can figure out how to, like, maybe more of, you know, what they call an H-back, where if you figure out a way to isolate him on maybe a linebacker, maybe even a safety, he can help your passing game. And to me, this is like the kind of move that makes sense because I just don't see where Lawrence Cager was going to fit as a wide receiver. First of all, the Jets have a pretty deep depth chart at the receiver position, so there really wasn't going to be a spot for him. And I know that they, on paper, have new tight ends. I mean, they have three new tight ends this year, two of whom got fairly decent free agent contracts, another guy they drafted in the third round in Jeremy Ruckert. So I know Jets have three guys who are locks to be on the team as tight ends anyway, but I feel like Lawrence Cager's path to this team may be more at the tight end position. He's a guy, you know, I'm not sure you're going to get much from him this year. This is kind of they're kind of taking a flyer on him because he's not a guy who's really going to contribute much in the NFL at the wide receiver position. I don't think he can beat corners. And, he struggled. Admittedly, he was thrown into action before he was ready. You never want to be in a position where you got an undrafted rookie starting games, as the Jets had Cager doing in the early part of 2020 when they had a bunch of injuries at receiver. But, I looked at him and I just never saw this. I never saw the fit. And for a guy like this, occasionally, as I just said in the last segment, occasionally you'll have a guy with receiver skills, maybe not fast enough to play receiver in this league, but he's bigger, he's got some receiving skills. So sometimes you see this occasionally. It doesn't happen that frequently, but sometimes these guys find a better fit at the tight end position. You know, guys who are maybe a little bit kind of hybrid type players, guys who can help your offense. Unlike Jason Pinnock, unlike Mekhi Becton, I mean, I don't know that he's going to get a lot of playing time this year. I think this is more kind of a long-term project. He's learning a new role. Now, it's not like, when I say that, it's not like he's changing from, corner to left tackle. There's a lot of overlap between receiver and tight end. You're still running routes. Tight ends still flex out to the receiver position. They're still running routes. You're still catching the football. at the receiver, you do block to a certain extent, although not the way you do at the tight end position. But this guy I kind of have my eye on just because there's so much buzz around him. And sometimes you just have to listen to what the coaches are saying. Sometimes you have to listen to like what the people who cover the team are saying, because they talk to the coaches a lot. And if the coaches are really talking a lot about a guy, it's worth watching. Am I going to guarantee you Lawrence Cager is going to succeed at tight end? No. Am I going to guarantee you he's going to be a big part of this team? No. But his name you keep hearing over and over as he moves to the tight end position. And I got to say, like, I mean, you do see some skills in him. You see some skills in him. And maybe tight end's a better fit for him. So that's a guy, that's a name worth watching. Again, less, you know, don't go predicting breakout seasons for people. But just keep it in mind as you go to training camp. If you see, if you keep hearing his name in training camp and preseason, then, you know, maybe get a little optimistic. Maybe this is a guy that can help the Jets out. Anyway, that's all for today's episode. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoyed the show, subscribe to it. Leave the show a 5-star review. Thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. It helps the channel out. Hope you have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back next time as we continue to get ready for Jets training camp.